The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Day, Dara O'Hanlon is here, the topical vet. Hello.
Hello, how are you, Claire?
Very well. Coming up to Easter, though, and chocolate and dogs is always a topic, isn't it? People get very worried about the dog eating chocolate, but it's certain types of chocolate, is it, that we have to be worried about?
That's it. And like Easter, wonderful time of the year, great for families, strong links to animals anyway, you know, young animals out in the ground, hares, rabbits, chicks, what have you. But you're absolutely right. We see a huge spike of poisoning cases around Easter time. And there was a Dublin emergency hospital that said that at Easter, there's a 200% increase in chocolate toxicity or chocolate poisoning cases. So Easter is upon us, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about how the majority of these poisoning cases in pets, they're not malintent. It's not that someone has set out to do it. They are
someone leaving their Easter egg out and the dog.
That's it. It's something completely avoidable, preventable, and hopefully we'll be able to get to the bottom of it.
Okay, so when a dog eats chocolate, it's obviously not going to agree with their tummies, but is it very good quality chocolate, like dark chocolate, that really causes the problem?
Yeah, so you're right. When it comes to chocolate itself, chocolate contains theobromine and caffeine. Now, it has more theobromine than caffeine, and unlike us humans, dogs are unable to metabolize those things very, very well. My own father, he worked for Cadbury's, and I tell you, there's a human who can metabolize chocolate very efficiently. But dogs, not so much. And unfortunately, what happens is that with certain amounts of those toxic substances, you'll get changes with the brain. So sometimes you'll get kind of fretful type behavior, maybe seizures in the worst cases. You'll get changes in the heart rate, so the heart rate might elevate. And also gut problems.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. It depends on the type of chocolate that has been ingested by the dog. So, for example, I know this came in the news recently, the whole thing about chocolate flavour and, you know, what could be called chocolate.
But real chocolate and fake chocolate.
This is exactly it. And then I think once you go higher, so once you go to dark chocolate or to cooking chocolate, the concentrations of theobromine and caffeine are going to be much, much higher. And it is what's called a dose-dependent toxicity. So, for example, if you were unlucky enough that you had a Chihuahua who ate a small amount of dark chocolate, that could be very, very dangerous. Whereas if you had a Great Dane that ate a small amount of chocolate flavoured product, there is a chance it might not reach the toxic levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the other thing is that when it comes to dogs as well, like their behaviour is very much so those of scavengers. So they're going to look for opportunities, shall we say. And we would see that in certain breeds. So you think of Labs and Cockers, they're much more likely to be going rummaging for these.
Snoofling bugs. Around all the time looking for food, I say, as the proud owner of two Labs who never stop eating. Well, if they got the opportunity.
There you go. And some, I don't know if you had it with your Labs, but oftentimes you will find this in younger animals. You know, they will take those chances. And the challenge, I suppose, around Easter as well is that there's so much more of these chocolate products available. And I've worked many an Easter Sunday. You're coming close to the clinic opening and you rock up and next thing there'll be around 8 to 10 people outside, all with doleful looking dogs and carrying Easter egg boxes that are definitely empty. So,
And what should you do if you think your dog has overindulged or has indulged in chocolate?
First and foremost, there are online chocolate toxicity calculators that are available. They're slightly simplistic. And I think the best thing to do is contact your vet, because your vet, your veterinary nurse, they'll be able to give you advice as to what the next best course of action may be.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, if it is that your dog requires treatment, if it's relatively soon after the ingestion, it might be possible to make them vomit and get rid of the toxic substance. Or it might be they need supportive care. But thankfully, the majority of cases will respond really well to treatment within 12 to 24 hours.
Okay, sometimes. So the first thing you're going to do is try and get that dog to be sick.
Yeah, it depends a little bit on the timing. If it goes past a certain point, there'd be little, you know, it will be absorbed in the system. But you're right.
And what are you doing then if it has been absorbed, if the toxins have gone into the system?
Then you're more so looking at supportive care. So things like fluid therapy, to make sure the patient stays well. And you can give substances to try and block further absorption of the toxins.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that can be done. I think the big thing would be that try and keep this chocolate up and out of reach. I suppose for children, while it's nice to share with our animals, definitely don't be sharing chocolate. It's just something that's totally avoidable. And this would go, when you look at globally, the most common toxins or poisons of dogs, number one is chocolate by a country mile.
Okay.
91% of cases of poisoning in dogs is going to be due to chocolate. Then when you go down the list, the rest of things in dogs, believe it or not, over half of them are going to be human medications, things like beta blockers, you and I taking ibuprofen, diphene, paracetamol, any of those things. And again, it's a good example of a risk that is avoidable.
The other thing people need to watch out for as well, which I wouldn't have considered, are grapes.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
So grapes are really, sultanas and raisins. They are a very interesting toxin because they're not dose dependent. So it's very, very individual. And what this means is that conversely, you could have a Chihuahua who eats one raisin and is absolutely fine. And you could have a Great Dane that eats one raisin and is not fine. They think it's to do with something called tartaric acid that's in grapes, raisins and some currants. And it's very individual as to how well mm-hmm. a dog is able to metabolize that tartaric acid. It will affect the kidneys is what it does.
So don't do that game where you're throwing the grapes in the air and the dog is catching them, which I might have done not knowing that I could have been killing my dog or poisoning the dog.
Well, thankfully your dogs are, you mentioned you still have the two labs, so hopefully.
And they will literally eat anything, you know, whether it's toxic or not.
No, this is it. Obviously at Easter, hot cross buns?
Yeah.
Yes, hot cross buns.
Raisins.
Yeah, there you go. So another possible Easter it can be dodgy enough. So you, certainly as a pet owner, I would be more careful. And even you look at cats then, I mean, the Easter lily, very, very commonly gifted.
Toxic for cats.
Yeah, very toxic for cats.
Okay, well, Dara, we'll keep an eye out. We know more than we did before you were here. Dara O'Hanlon, vet. And you can find Dara online, by the way. Just search for The Topical Vet and you'll find him on Instagram and social media. Dara, thank you so much for coming in. Sure. My thanks to everybody for getting in touch today. If you've missed out on anything, you can listen back on the Go Loud app. The team, Cormac McDonagh on sound, producers Dee King, Helena O'Toole and Alex Russo. Research by David O'Connor. Our broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.